Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Warriors. This is Grant Liffman.
And I'm Drew Schiller.
And we are here to talk to you about the Warriors, usually 5 days a week, but right now, because it's summer, not as much.
Yeah, I'd say one day a week, if that.
Yeah, but this episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. And we'll tell you a little bit more about SeatGeek a little later.
Yeah, because SeatGeek is awesome. So, Grant, let's see here. We are recording this on Friday, September 8th. Should we talk about Alex Smith?
Oh, my. That was a great game.
Yeah, your boy, Alex Smith.
That's my boy, Alex Smith.
Man, I was not a fan of Alex Smith with the 49ers. Let's just throw that out there.
I know you weren't. And I started off not the biggest fan, but I actually developed a following of Alex Smith. It's true.
Following? Alex Smith. You developed a following?
Yeah, like a group of people that just follow Alex Smith now.
Yeah, that's not really accurate. You were not as big of a hater as Alex Smith as I was, but we both thought that the switch to Colin Kaepernick was the right move. But anyway, Steve Kerr.
Yeah. Go on.
He had a nice conversation with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic the other day, and he talked about his health. He talked about the upcoming season. Kind of the two main takeaways from the conversation. Let's start with his health. Steve Kerr made it clear that he is not 100% by any means. So he is still feeling the effects of the back surgery from a couple years ago, but that he is confident that he will get there. It's just going to take some time. However, Marcus in the article really did stress that it seems as if Kerr is just in a better place mentally with how to deal with the issues. And that's key because it is just all about maintenance.
Yeah. No, it obviously in a long season, it's very arduous to like get through road games, sitting,
going
all these practices. Thank you so much. It's a long season. It's about 8-9 months with the Warriors being so good and going through the playoffs. So it's about dealing with it. It's about maintaining. Obviously, at some point, he wants to fix the issue, which it sounded like in the article, he's still confident that that can happen at some point.
Yes.
But as of now, it's just maintaining throughout a full season. And last season was pretty impressive. He made it through the full season. It's just in the playoffs, it just caught up with him.
Yeah.
So let's hope and cross our fingers that we can get through an entire season with him.
Well, you mentioned how arduous. Is it arduous or arduous? How do you pronounce it?
Arduous.
Arduous. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. How the season is so long, and there's obviously been talk in the NBA circles about potentially shortening the season, but that's not the point here. Steve Kerr also talked about the biggest challenge facing the Warriors this upcoming season, and he said that it is complacency. And in his description, or in his quotes to Marcus Thompson, Steve Kerr said, "We've been to the finals 3 years in a row, and for our core group, that's a long haul, and you just cannot lose your edge in this league." You mentioned how, you know, going deep into the playoffs, going to the finals three straight years. In 2015, including the playoffs, the Warriors played 103 games. In 2016, they played 106 games because of the seven-game series against Oklahoma City and seven games against the Cavs. And then last year, they almost played the fewest amount of games you can possibly play when you win the championship, 99 games. But it's still the mental and physical grind. And so Steve Kerr talked about the balance that he and his coaching staff are going to need to find, when to push guys, when to challenge guys, when to hold guys accountable on individual games for defensive assignments. So that is going to be something to monitor all season. And it's why I'm not sure how many wins you think the Warriors will have during the regular season. We should talk about that, but I do think that Kerr is gonna pace these guys in particular early in the season.
Well, yeah, and he mentioned it before, but in terms of complacency, one thing they also try to do is bring new blood and new personalities into the clubhouse to kind of spice things up a little bit.
Grant, that's what it's you're not a clubhouse. Stop.
I said Clubhouse and I meant Clubhouse.
It's like the Giants season ended before it even started.
Touche.
By the way, real quick tangent. You've been doing an awesome job on the happy hour.
Oh, thank you.
You've been on there with Ray Ratto and Kelly Johnson a lot the last couple weeks, and you guys have been talking about the Giants some, and you've just been crushing it, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Drew. That's very sweet of you to say. But they brought in Nick Young, who's quite a character, as we've seen. Omri Caspi, they have some rooks that are, you know, Damian Jones should be with the team a little more. You have Jordan Bell. So that definitely helps, having people who are really, really, you know, they want a championship because they've never had one. So they're going to be fighting, right? But for the other guys, it makes complete sense what Steve Kerr is saying. I think anyone at some point has dealt with complacency, whether at their job or any, you know, if they're in sports, just the constant years of playing that you get a little complacency. And
especially when you're making millions and millions of dollars and you've won several championships.
Exactly. So I don't think it's as much of an issue again during the playoffs. I think really, really it comes down to the regular season.
Yes.
And not in the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season, everyone's always excited. It's those middle days. It's those dog days of summer, but it's dog days of winter. And I really think that if there is a team that can overcome that, it's the Warriors, because their personalities are strong. You have Draymond Green and others inspiring them. And all you need to do is really at practice and at every game is address it and just be like, hey, don't let complacency hit. Let's play this game as if it's a very important game.
Dude, that was so inspiring.
Well, I was going to give him my whole,
you know, my Al Pacino, gosh, like, I just
Eddie
Gibbons
Sunday voice.
Oh, man. I just want to go out there and fight for you. Yes.
He would go to war with me.
Yeah.
So I think he's 100% right. I doubt that that's going to be too much of an issue. The only place it hurts the Warriors, and you and I have talked about this multiple times, is when they become cool guys on the court, when they try to get a little flashy or a little, you know, lackadaisical with their passes. And that's where they kind of, you know, where they try to do the awesome highlight move instead of just making the right pass. That's where they can get a little, it's boredom. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I vividly remember reading Bill Simmons, the Book of Basketball. And he was, he focused a lot on the 1986 Celtics, who he thinks is the greatest team ever. Shocker. He's from Boston.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would talk about how Larry Bird and Bill Walton would like make bets with each other on specific games to see if Larry Bird could finish and make all of his shots around the rim with his left hand, simply to make the game within the game a little bit more fun because of the monotony of the season and how the regular season, it matters, but it just, we've seen over the last couple of years, right now, it's just about being healthy for the playoffs. But yeah, the point is just that there's going to be some moments throughout the season where the Warriors are going to go through some lulls. They're going to go through some shooting slumps. It's going to happen. And, you know, one thing that I think is good for the Warriors, you mentioned bringing in the new personalities, which is just kind of a nice little shakeup and a change of pace. I think it's also great that the rest of the league this summer made some very, very bold moves and guys changed teams. And, like, teams are not bowing down to the Warriors at all. If anything, we've seen GMs be even more aggressive. And so I think the Warriors need to remember that the bullseye cannot be any bigger. And that also is going to bring out the competitive edge in the Warriors for certain games. Like, you know that they are going to get up and they don't want the narrative to at all start to be, are they susceptible this season?
That's very true, and teams are going to be gunning for them. And you look at the Timberwolves, you look at the Thunder, you look at the Rockets. Those three in particular really, really loaded up trying to really make a move on the Warriors and make a move on the league. So I do agree with you. The excitement around those teams actually gives a chance for the Warriors to fly a little bit more under the radar than they possibly could. I know it's not possible for them to be completely under the radar. The radar is them. But I really do think that those teams' excitement will give the Warriors a chance to, within themselves, find the drive, and you know, you won't have to do it from outside sources as much.
I agree. Before we talk about SeatGeek, just one little quick tangent. You mentioned Jordan Bell, Warriors rookie, a couple minutes ago. On Thursday night, there was a 5K race here in San Francisco. It started right near AT&T Park and actually near where the new Chase Center is going to be.
I believe your wife ran in it.
She did. It was an event sponsored by JP Morgan Chase. The Warriors had a presence there. Jordan Bell was at the starting line, and then he was at the finish line holding up the ticker tape where the person who comes in first place runs through the tape. And he was there holding it up. He grabbed the microphone. He gave a small little speech. So Jordan Bell is out there in the community letting everybody know that that he is just a part of this team. And it was cool to see him, and it reminded me that the season is just a couple weeks away in terms of training camp and media day getting going. And, oh, just can't get here soon enough.
Did you go say hi?
I did not say hi to him. I saw our good friend, friend of the show, friend of the pod, Connor Letourneau.
Oh, who, Connor.
Yeah, good old Connor, who we got to know in Vegas for Summer League. He, of course, is the beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. So it was just nice seeing Warriors people again, because it means that the season is creeping up, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, and most importantly, it feels like, you know, when you have like your favorite teacher in school and you go a whole summer without them, but you're excited to see them when you see them again. I feel like Jim Barnett is that guy. Like, everyone goes a full summer without Jim Barnett. You just, you know, he's just not on the map for a little bit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, he's in your life consistently for 8 months. I love it.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
I miss Uncle Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about SeatGeek here for a second. Now, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Now, what SeatGeek does is saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites, Drew. So those includes all the sites that you know on the internet. And they compare the prices and find the most amazing deals. Here's the thing. Anyone listening right now gets $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase.
$20.
Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONBA today. So that is LONBA, all in caps. That's as in Locked On NBA. That's promo code LONBA in caps for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Drew, you use it. I use it. It has been very helpful, and it is pretty awesome that it actually finds the best price, because it's really annoying having to go through like eight different sites being like, where's the best ticket in that? So thank you, SeatGeek.
Thank you, SeatGeek. I'm looking at my cell phone right now, and boom, there's the app right there ready for me to just click it.
Boom. All right, Drew,
what?
Let's talk a little Jeff Van Gundy here. He pretty much said about it. It's a wrap. He's a winning all this year. He said, let's not even look at this year. Let's look at the next year, right?
That is what he said, yes.
Did he not say that?
He did say that. He was asked on, I believe it was NBA Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Well, actually, the funny thing is he was asked if he thinks that the Cavs will trade the Brooklyn pick that they have,
right,
or will they hold on to it. And he basically said he just thinks the Cavs will end up playing the long game, meaning that they will not trade it because they need to start building for the future. And the reason for that is because he said whoever that they could possibly acquire with that pick, it's still not going to make them better than the Warriors. And then, of course, he just kind of had some fun with it, and he basically said the season is over. It's a wrap was the way that that the word or the phrase that he specifically used. So he said, just wake me up when something changes with their roster because it's over.
Yeah, so that's the one thing, and God forbid anything were to happen, but things change if injuries occur.
Of course. That's always the caveat.
That's always the caveat, and it really is the caveat potentially with that first round pick as well. If there's injuries that occur and people see a weakness, GMs may make moves depending on that. and might try to spice things up and go for it if they see any weakness or flaws at all in the Warriors, a chink in the armor perhaps. But in this case, you and I try to be as unbiased as possible. But in your mind, Drew, a healthy Warriors team, it's a wrap, right?
A fully healthy Warriors team in the playoffs, yeah. Yeah. It's
you're not beating that team in a seven-game series. You're not beating them four times out of seven games.
No, and that's not being a homer. That's not being biased. It just there's no reason to think anything different. It's just, right. It's just the way it is. I mean, unless somehow a team was able to form that had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
Well, no, that's the thing. So if the Rockets were able to acquire LeBron James and one other piece somehow in the middle of the season, and now they have LeBron, Chris Paul, James Harden, they have all the shooters around, sure, that team will compete with the Warriors. That 100% will compete with the Warriors.
Silly conversation. But, moving on.
But, yeah, but the point is it's a wrap. Now, talking about moves that happened, Kobe Altman, the new GM of the Cavs,
yep,
made a move that everyone is heralding for a little bit there, where he traded Kyrie Irving to the Celtics and got Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, a first-round pick, Ante Zizic. And then people were a little skeptical at first because of Isaiah's hip, and so they assumed everything was fine. And then medical issues pop up, and then they go back and get a meaningless second-round pick. Which
whoa, literally... Draymond Green says what? Meaningless?
Okay. They got a meaningless
second-round pick. The 60th pick? It. Relax.
Yeah. A meaningless second-round pick gets sent back that's like 3 years down the line. But the biggest issue about any of this as a GM is his big failure of a press conference yesterday.
Oh, wow. You think it was a big failure, huh?
I'm coming in hot right now. I think he was – and we talked about this on the Happy Hour on NBC Sports Bay Area last night with Ray Ratto is definitely very upset about this. But you.
What is Ray not upset about?
That's true. There is one job, and that as a GM is to be transparent. You're the voice of the team when things happen, right? He was prepped for the fact that there was going to be a bunch of questions about Isaiah's hip because that's all there is to talk about. Why are we talking about the fit that Isaiah Thomas will be on the Cavs or being excited about him if no one has any clue if he's even going to play this season?
Okay, hold on a second.
It was so ridiculous.
Hold on a second. Did you just say that the one job a GM has is to be transparent?
At a press conference.
I could not disagree with you more. A GM's job is not to tell the media and the entire world exactly the way things are.
Okay. It depends. No. In this particular situation, I have a feeling they really don't know. They just don't know.
I agree with you there.
And you can answer questions. Sorry. Yes, they can't always be transparent. But in this case, he just needs to go out there and say, I really don't know. Instead of saying we're not going to answer those questions, be like, unfortunately, we don't know. And then it'd be like,
I think that sends out crazy alarm bells. I think that
this sent out crazier alarm bells in my mind.
I think honestly,
first of all, if all of you don't know what we're talking about right now, yesterday there was a press conference, and anytime somebody asked about the hip or the hip issue or timeline, Altman just took the mic and said, "Sorry, we're not going to answer any questions about Isaiah's hip." This press conference,
yeah, the only
over and over again.
The only piece of information that he actually revealed that you know is kind of newsworthy, and it's definitely newsworthy because I want to go on a quick tangent about it is that they're not going to have surgery. Isaiah Thomas has opted to not have surgery on his hip. Now, really quickly, I want to make it very clear. I am not a doctor. I know that may come as a surprise to some of you. I do not have any education in terms of formal education in the medical field. However, I do have some experience with hip issues. I had the same hip issues that Isaiah Thomas has in his right hip, which was a labrum tear and impingement. And I found out about it right before my senior season in college started. And I was told you can play through it this season. I was also in a lot of discomfort, and I was told that you can have a couple cortisone shots along the way, which can help you get through the pain, and it'll actually numb it for a couple weeks or a month at a time. But that surgery was absolutely going to be necessary when the season ended. And that was coming from a person like me who wasn't going to be playing professionally after my senior season ended. Isaiah Thomas knows that he has a torn labrum. He played through it last season, and it got to the point where it was so bad, he was in so much pain, that he could no longer play in the freaking Eastern Conference Finals. You know that he wanted to be out there more than anything in the world, but it must have been so bad that he simply could not. Now we are finding out that he is not having surgery and that he is going to simply try to rest and rehab. And that school of thought from his doctors, from his people, whatever, they believe that he'll be able to return to the court at some point this season at 100%. Now, all I'm going to say is that I am very skeptical that that is going to work. I am concerned that he's going to return, and even after 9 months of rest, even if he doesn't come back until the All-Star break, a player of his stature and his size who relies so much on his explosive ability and his cutting and his quick movements, if that labrum inside the hip and the other issues that are reported where there's an extra bone or an impingement, I'm just skeptical that the rest and rehab is going to allow him to be back at 100%. I think he should have had surgery, but that, of course, is coming from me who has, I don't know the specifics of his situation. I haven't seen his MRI. I haven't talked to doctors. Duh. But I'm just saying, I'm skeptical, Grant. Boom.
And you and I have both talked about this at length, and I really, truly think it had a lot to do with his contract year being a free agent. I think that at first, potentially the doctor said you can rehab and make it better, and maybe something went wrong along the way, but if he had surgery originally, he probably could have been back a lot sooner. But I think a lot of it plays into the whole free agent thing. He's trying to stay healthy or trying to be on the court as much as possible because he wants to earn a contract. You can't be out a season with surgery and then go into free agent year and try to secure a big contract. I think that played into it. Now looking back in retrospect, maybe surgery was the best option immediately. But yeah, the situation they're in right now is such an odd situation because you have a team trying to go for a championship that just traded their second best player away for a guy who would fill in as the second best player on their team. And there's just no timeline. And obviously this affects the Warriors because this is the team that is supposed to be playing against them in the championship. Again, it would be the fourth straight year. So I don't know. Obviously, Drew, I think your analysis on it makes sense. The other thing that happened with you was you think potentially that because one hip was so bad,
yes,
you compensated and the other one went bad because of that. So you ended up having surgery on both hips. And that's a potential as well. Maybe the body does try to compensate a little bit and puts a little too much pressure on the other hip. So I have a lot of concern about it. You and I by no means are rooting for Isaiah Thomas to be out or injured.
I love Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
I am a big fan of his. I played against him in college. I'm rooting for him. I want him to be healthy. He was an inspiration during the playoffs.
And it's just more fun when you have a healthy Cavs team.
We
want to see the competition. But again, we're skeptical, and we if they don't trade that Brooklyn pick and Isaiah can't play for majority of the season, I do think there's a legit chance the Celtics could potentially pass them up and go into the finals.
Yeah,
this is my opinion.
This is going to be something that we monitor all season long. Like, we're going to find out about an update on Isaiah Thomas come November, and then there's going to be another update, and this is not going to be the last time that we talk about this, but I'm rooting for him. I hope that my skepticism turns out to have just been a waste of energy and thought and time. I hope that he returns 100% and that he can play very well during the playoffs. But your point about it being a contract year, I'm just concerned that he comes back and
comes back too soon.
Or not even if it's quote unquote too soon, but he comes back and he is playing at such a high level because these are the best athletes in the world that we're talking about here. And then he re-injures his hip, and then he goes into his free agency, and then he really is damaged goods. Who's going to pay him then?
Right. No.
So I'm concerned, but Isaiah, I know you're listening right now because you're a friend of the show. You're a friend of the pod, and I'm rooting for you, but I'm just concerned. I'm concerned. Yeah.
Hey, Isaiah. Good to have you. Quickly moving on to also kind of disturbing things. You have Hurricane Harvey and the flooding and everything that's happened out in Texas, which has been awful. And everyone in Florida, all Warriors fans in Florida listening in right now, be safe. Be safe. Go to safety. Everything I'm seeing about the news is just absolutely terrifying, what's happening with Hurricane Irma over there. But quickly, at least some good news is Steph Curry gave over $100,000 to Hurricane Harvey victims. He did a shootout to determine how much money he was going to give. I think he's hit 18 shots, right?
And so, I got to be honest, I didn't get the exact details, but I'm pretty sure I read. So I think sure he
was like,
I read...
per shot was like $10,000, and he hit 18, I think. So I believe it was 100.
But wasn't it free throws? Didn't he only make 18 of 25 free throws or something?
Was
like
it free
that?
Throws? I thought it was a 3-point contest. I thought it was a round. But
I don't know.
But I know this is not Warriors news, but how incredible is this JJ Watt fund,
dude,
that's happening? He wanted a couple $100,000 to come in, and they're over $29 million right now. That's incredible. That's awesome.
It truly is awesome. And the city of Houston, man, like people are donating that they never ever thought they would be donating to something, and they're just feeling compelled to help out down there. And the former Rockets owner, Leslie Alexander, he gave $10 million.
Right.
Although he can afford it because he just sold the Rockets for $2.2 billion.
Yeah, but it really is just they're going to need so much more money than what they're even getting right now. But still, just really good to hear. And Curry giving money was big. Now, Drew, I believe you had some quick hitters for us about some stuff over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, we'll go real quick here. Yeah. I thought, you know, Kevin Durant was on the Bill Simmons podcast. I believe that was last week. Maybe even the week before. You and I haven't chatted in a while about this stuff on this pod. Yes. I thought it was very cool that Kevin Durant basically said when he was asked what his favorite thing about the Bay Area, aside from winning the championship, he basically just said it's the culture and the food. So many different pockets of mom and pop restaurants all over the Bay Area. And he just loves that. He says he's never experienced anything like that. I'm not taking a shot at Oklahoma City right now. But I think there's more culture in the Bay Area and different types of food. And Kevin Durant is certainly enjoying that. James Michael McAdoo, man, he's on the Philadelphia 76ers, a two-way contract with the 76ers. They have a lot of bigs out there in Philly, so I don't know how much opportunity he's going to have in the NBA next season. But one other one, and then we can wrap up here because it's Friday and it's time for everybody to enjoy their weekend. On the Bill Simmons podcast, Kevin Durant was asked, I thought it was a great question from a fan, what's the biggest what-if moment of your career? And he basically had four options. Was it the Blazers drafting you number one over Greg Oden? Was it James Harden getting traded to the Rockets? So basically, was it like if the Thunder never made that move? The third option was Klay not going nuts in game six of the 2016 Western Conference Finals, because without that, the Thunder beat the Warriors and move on to the NBA Finals, and who knows if Durant ever comes to the Warriors. And the last option was, what if Zaza actually hurt him to the point where he had to miss the remainder of the season? Four pretty big what-ifs.
Yeah, those are very impressive what-ifs.
And Durant's answer was B, the James Harden trade. And I thought that was interesting on many levels, but basically, if the Thunder just would have paid James Harden a couple million more dollars and they would have gone into the luxury tax, and man, did the Thunder rattle off three straight championships?
Yeah, talk about a super team.
Oh my gosh.
That would be, and they're all young. They would have had them for like 5 years at least. Oh man, they would have been studs.
They make the 2012 finals. They lose to the Heat. Their core four Westbrook, Durant, Harden, and Ibaka were all 23 years old or younger. It's
that,
just
that
it's crazy.
Is a super team.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. All right, everybody. Thank you, and thank you to SeatGeek for sponsoring this episode. It was a pleasure talking with all y'all. Have a great weekend, and Drew and I will be talking to you soon.
We will be back next week.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.